Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Monday. More importantly, happy game day. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. On this Packers-Eagles Monday Night Football game day, we have got a ton to get into, including our keys to the game, final predictions. We've got some games from Sunday I want to talk about, an interesting update to the Micah Parsons trade, and a whole heck of a lot more. But this, let's just start right away. This has a very big fight feel to it. Tons on the line, either at the end of Monday Night Football, we're probably going to be feeling like, Super Bowl is back on, let's go Green Bay, everything's happy and everything's trending in the right direction, or we're about to hit panic levels, that which we have not seen in some time in Green Bay. That's what it feels like. Maybe it won't be that. Maybe there'll be some sort of middle ground in between. I don't know. But this feels like a massive game, a massive opportunity for Green Bay to kind of get their mojo back, or an opportunity for Philly to take another step in the NFC and for Green Bay to get knocked down to, well, we'll talk about where exactly they would fall to in just a moment if they end up losing this game. So a very big fight feel, a very energetic sort of, I think, feel in Green Bay for how important that this game is. I think there's a little bit of nervousness, angst, and anxiety as well of just not knowing what's going to happen. Can they get back on track? Can they start winning and showing that they are a Super Bowl contender? Or is this going to get a little bit painful maybe before it gets better? We'll go through all of that today. Before we do, I do want to talk about that update to the Micah Parsons, Kenny Clark trade. It's an interesting update. So a lot of times what teams do, if they trade away a player, they want to ensure that that player does not end up back in their division. So what the Cowboys don't want is that the Packers, or they trade Micah Parsons to the Packers, and then the Packers go and trade Micah Parsons to the Eagles, or to maybe a lesser extent, the Commanders or the Giants, right? Because there was the report that the Eagles made a significant offer for Micah Parsons, and Dallas is just like, no, we're not doing that. We're not trading him in the division, okay? So they didn't trade him to Philly. What they don't want is, you know, Green Bay trading for him, and then after a year being like, oh, we don't want him, and now we're going to trade him back to Philly. You know, so that's what Dallas is trying to do. And Green Bay, at the same token, you know, didn't want Kenny Clark to end up in Minnesota, Chicago, or Detroit. So what both teams did here is they put a poison pill provision in the deal where if Micah Parsons gets traded back to the NFC East, other than Dallas, they would owe the Cowboys a 2028 first-round pick. And if Kenny Clark would get traded from the Cowboys to Minnesota, Chicago, or Detroit, Green Bay would get Dallas's 2028 first-round pick. Now, this doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot on the surface. Green Bay is not trading Micah Parsons. So that's probably the easiest aspect of this. So it doesn't really matter all that much. And Kenny Clark, quite frankly, there could be some trade equity that Dallas has in him. He could be a cut candidate, especially now that they got Quinnen Williams and they got Osa Digizua at defensive tackle and a big contract already. There's a decent chance Kenny ends up just getting released next year, just like he probably would have in Green Bay. But, you know, I think that there may be a little bit of odds that he gets traded. Again, even if so, it's just going to eliminate those three teams. I can't imagine Green Bay cares all that much, but they probably said, hey, if you want the poison pill provision, we want the poison pill provision. And so they both agreed upon it. I actually think this is kind of dumb for both teams, if I'm being honest. If you're willing to trade said player, and especially for Kenny Clark, you know, do you really care all that much if they end up back in the division? Even if so, what I would have liked to have seen here is just sort of a handshake agreement between Jerry Jones and Brian Gutekunst to say, we're not going to trade Kenny to the NFC North. We're not going to trade Micah to the NFC East. And the reason I say that is because when you make this trade, or when you make that agreement, I should say, you tie up your 2028 first round pick until the end of 2027 when that expires. So Green Bay cannot trade away their 2028 first round pick, and Dallas cannot trade away their 2028 first round pick. And we live in a league now that trading first round picks is not that uncommon anymore. We saw it just at the trade deadline for Quinnen Williams. You know, we saw it for Sauce Gardner. We obviously saw it for Micah Parsons, and other teams, I'm sure, were willing to do it for some other players as well. And especially for Green Bay sort of being in this all-in phase over the next couple of years and not having a draft pick, a first-round draft pick in 2026 or 2027, and now the 2028 first-rounder is untouchable, that you can't trade that either. It just kind of boxes Green Bay in. Do I think it probably matters a ton? Probably not, but let's just say that Green Bay really wanted Sauce Gardner this past weekend. And let's say the terms were a lot less, right? And we know what Sauce ended up going for was basically the Micah Parsons trade. But let's say Green Bay was the highest bidder, say, we'll give you a 2028 first round pick. And the Colts are like, awesome deal. And then Green Bay, oh, we actually don't have our 2028 first round pick. We can't trade it. So the Jets say, sorry, too bad. That's what we wanted. And again, is that the case? Is that what happened? No, of course not. But if there was a player that they really liked and the team wanted a first round pick and the only one that Green Bay has remaining, they're not allowed to trade, that becomes a bit of an issue. There's not much more to make of this. I don't want to make too much of it because it probably is much ado about nothing. We know for the most part, Goody wants to hold on to his draft picks anyway. But, you know, the last thing that I will kind of say here is, again, I sort of wish that they ultimately just would have had like a handshake agreement not to trade the players in the divisions, so then you don't have to tie up those first round picks. The other thing I'll just add really quick is you could change that that language at some point. So they could go back to Dallas if they needed to trade their 2028 first and say, hey, can we change the verbiage on this so that in the case that we trade Micah Parsons, we give you, you know, our six other picks in the draft or whatever, just basically saying we're not going to trade him. We just need the ability to trade our first, and you can probably work something out that way. But just noteworthy nonetheless that 2028 first is now tied up and they cannot trade it until the end of 2027. So slightly noteworthy there. That's probably the only noteworthy aspect of that condition to the trade. All right, let's get to Sunday's results because there's a lot to talk about here. The first thing that I think is worth mentioning is that the Bills lost to the Dolphins in a game where the Dolphins basically blew Buffalo out, right? If Green Bay, a Super Bowl contender just like Buffalo, would have played Miami and lost by that much, this entire Packers sphere would have been nuclear, all right? I just want you to put yourself in the mindset of like thinking of Buffalo right now. If you're thinking of Buffalo, you probably think of them a little bit less today, right? But when you think of them as like a playoff contender, you're still putting Buffalo at the top of the like three or four teams in the AFC that are potentially going to compete for a Super Bowl, right? It probably doesn't even register to you all that much that they lost to the Miami Dolphins because it's the Bills. They got Josh Allen and they're going to be fine and they're still one of the top contenders in the AFC, et cetera. But if your own team had lost that game in the same way, it's all over, it's done with, fire everyone, nuke everyone, et cetera. Just remember that mindset. It's just another example that this is a week-to-week league. And there's going to be major upsets every single week. And that was a pretty big upset by Miami to beat Buffalo the way that they did. And Buffalo looked completely non-competitive in that game against the Dolphins of all teams. It's just another stark reminder that this league is insanely freaking hard. And in any given week, you can lose to any given team. And it feels more that way this year than I think it has in really even any year in recent memory. So just a reminder there. However, on the flip side of that, we'll say, I thought the Seahawks, with a 44-22 win over the Arizona Cardinals, made a statement and showed, hey, yeah, you know what? You can take a team like Arizona and you can blow them out. I thought the Rams, with a 42-26 win over the San Francisco 49ers, made a massive statement and said, yeah, even when you're playing good teams, you can make a statement and blow teams out. And I thought the Detroit Lions, despite some struggles as of late, including the same sort of loss that Green Bay suffered a week ago, to Minnesota, Green Bay, the loss to Carolina, even that, though they had that loss, they come back this week and they, you know, it was a very easy win against the Commanders. The Commanders were a shell of themselves after all the injuries. You knew Detroit was going to be pissed off. Dan Campbell's calling plays again, but a statement nonetheless, a 44-22 win over Washington. So it's also a stark reminder on the other side of things that, hey, good teams win in this league and can win by 20 plus points. And Green Bay hasn't really shown us the ability to do that yet. And I don't think that's going to be the case against Philly tonight, but I thought those three teams made a statement in their particular games. Meanwhile, the team that the Packers just lost to, the Carolina Panthers, went out and completely crapped the bed against the New Orleans Saints. and they lost and looked like complete garbage. And it made it, you know, sort of remind, you know, I think Packers fans and everyone of just that Green Bay never should have been in that situation and never should have lost that game to the Carolina Panthers. They're not a good football team. I know they had won 4 in a row with Bryce Young. The Saints didn't even play that well. I mean, you had J.C. Horn stumbling down. You just had some really bad plays. And I, you know, as I'm watching it, I'm just like, you know, where was that last week? You know, Carolina seemed extremely motivated against Green Bay and then basically no-showed against New Orleans. Again, it's that type of league. You just don't know which team is going to show up week to week. Meanwhile, the Vikings hung in there for a bit with the Ravens, and then things just completely fell apart. Ravens get the win against Minnesota. Once again, it looks like Minnesota is going to be the fourth place team in the division. But I said that a couple weeks ago, and then they upset Detroit. So again, who knows what Minnesota Vikings team will show up next week. Bears found a way to beat the New York Giants. It looked like the Giants were going to win that game. They had every opportunity to win that game. Jackson Dart getting hurt really hurt them, and it gave Chicago just the little bit of a hope and opportunity that they needed. Chicago took advantage of it, and they won and kept pressure on in the NFC North. Meanwhile, the other big news there is Jackson Dart did go out of that game with what looked like a pretty serious concussion. Of course, the Packers play the Giants next week, so that will be worth monitoring. The difference between how the team looked with Jackson Dart at quarterback and Russell Wilson at quarterback was a stark difference. If Russell Wilson is starting, you feel really good about that game. If Jackson Dart is starting, he has continued to get that team to play at a much higher level than what they've played at without him. So that is going to be a very important injury to monitor through the course of this week as Green Bay gets ready for, you know, New York in New York this upcoming Sunday. And then last but not least, the Patriots did defeat the Buccaneers. So a big time team in the NFC did get that loss to an AFC team, which you love to see. You always want those wins in the AFC and not the NFC. And Tampa picking up a loss there could be big for Green Bay potentially down the road. Now, where Green Bay stands right now, Packers are still going into Monday Night Football, technically first in the NFC North. And if they lose this game, if they win, they will stay first in the NFC North. If they lose this game to Philly, they will fall to third place in the NFC North. So currently first, if they win, they'll stay in first. If they lose, they fall to third. In the NFC, they are currently the number 3 seed in the NFC going into Monday Night Football. If they win, they would go to the number 2 seed. If they lose, they would go to the number 7 seed, just a half game above San Francisco. And San Francisco is at that 8 seed, which is out of the playoffs. So things get very tight, very, very quick if Green Bay loses this game. And obviously being third in the division and seventh in the NFC is not where anyone envisioned this Packers team being. That's where those losses against Carolina, against Cleveland, and a tie against Dallas really sting you. Now they can make up for it by beating teams like Detroit and Philly if they can get this one, but they've made things a lot harder than themselves. They took it easy on the easy teams. They didn't play their best brand of football, and now they've got to play really good football against the tougher teams, and they have to do that now against Philly on Monday Night Football in Green Bay, and hopefully they're up to it because, again, the difference, the season doesn't end today. There's a lot of season left, whether they finish, you know, this week as number 2 or number 7. You know, at the end of the day, it's what, you know, they go into the playoffs. Are they hot at the right time, et cetera? And can they get in the playoffs? That's going to be an important one as well. But for now, the difference between the 2 and the 7 is pretty massive. Again, this is a huge game for both of these teams, but it feels especially so for Green Bay at the moment. All right, let's get to our Habish Rotier injury report for this week. Out for the Packers, LVN and Nate Hobbs. Questionable, a pretty noteworthy list of players. 3 wide receivers, Matthew Golden, Dontavian Wicks, and Savion Williams. Matthew Golden did not practice on Saturday, which makes his status completely in doubt. Wicks and Williams were both limited, although it seemed like Williams stayed in a little bit longer. That could be almost more of a doubtful designation as well. Hopefully Dontavian Wicks at minimum is able to go. I mean, it would be great if all 3 of them could, but hopefully at minimum Dontavian Wicks is. And then Zach Tom, the other one where he's, you know, practiced all week, he's been limited all week, but he does show up and the injury report is questionable. Green Bay can ill afford to miss Zach Tom for this game. Hopefully he's good to go, and not just good to go, but good to play like his brand of football in this game. They're going to need good Zach Tom in this game. So those are all very noteworthy injuries to kind of keep an eye on for Green Bay. Now, it's very difficult to predict which players Green Bay might call up from the practice squad, but of course the wide receiver position is the big one to keep an eye on. Right now, if in fact Savion Williams and Matthew Golden cannot go in this game, you're looking at Dobbs, Watson, Wicks, potentially, with maybe with Watson and Wicks both on some sort of snap count. Heath you Malik Heath, and then maybe Bo Melton getting a little more snaps at wide receiver. But the interesting thing with Melton this week is Nate Hobbs is out. So with Nate Hobbs out, he's basically the next in line at corner, in potentially both either in the slot or on the outside. So you probably want him practicing a lot in the slot, but at the same time, you could be without Williams, Golden, and Wicks. So you could really want him playing offense as well. That's an interesting dynamic for Green Bay. And then I would assume almost no matter what that they call up a practice squad. I guess if Golden and Williams and Wicks are all good to go, then they don't. But keep an eye during the day on Monday to see if Green Bay does call up a wide receiver from the practice squad. That's probably your tell that a couple of the wide receivers aren't able to go in this game. What you really don't want to see is Green Bay calling up two practice squad wide receivers. Because if they call up two, that in all likelihood means that Wicks, Golden, and Williams are all out of this game, which would be extremely disadvantageous for the Packers going into Monday Night Football. Now for the Eagles, Cam Jurgens is out, their starting center. That's a big one for them. And also Jaire Alexander will not play in this game. It's interesting. They said, you know, to kind of get, you know, acclimated and to get him sort of ingrained in the team and let his knee rest and things like that, that he will not travel with the team. So not only is he not playing, he's not traveling with the team. The other unique thing about this is he was not on the injury report. They traded for him way early in the week. He was not on the injury report. So already sort of an interest, like this is just like what happens with Jaire. You know, I'd say this sincerely, wholeheartedly, no anything. I really was cheering for Jaire going to Baltimore. Like I get he's eccentric and a little bit weird and some stuff like that. And it didn't work out at the end of Green Bay. I thought going to Baltimore, reuniting with Lamar Jackson, it felt like a great spot for him and was, you know, really legitimately rooting him on. But this just feels like the Jaire of like, there's just always something there's just always something with Jaire. And now it feels like the start of the Philadelphia Eagles era kind of begins with that as well. We'll see what it ends up with in Philly. I'm cheering for him less in Philly because he's a Philadelphia Eagle and they're a team competing with Green Bay right now. So yeah, it's been that sort of journey the last couple of years, and Green Bay clearly made the right decision to move on in the offseason and not continue to pay him that huge contract. As far as inactives go, you know, I love to kind of predict the inactives, but it's a really difficult situation to try to predict in this one because I just don't know who they're going to call up or how many players are going to call up or who's actually out for this game. We just know for sure LVN and Nate Hobbs are going to be inactive, and then there's going to be two offensive linemen. And then on top of that, what it ends up being dependent upon who's out, who gets called up, et cetera, that's going to make it a little bit more cloudy for this game. But we'll learn the inactives an hour and a half before kickoff. But we know LVN, Hobbs, and two of the offensive linemen will be deactivated for sure. Hey, friends. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, the weather might be changing, but the feeling of being right never, ever gets old. So keep the season rolling on Prize Picks by getting $50 in lineups instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Now it's time to start getting ready for week 11. Yes, week 11. Where does the time go? As Green Bay travels to New York and a chance for Green Bay to show they can actually beat a bad team. This needs to be a big win for Green Bay, and I'm going with Jordan Love to have a starring performance to help get that big road win. Elsewhere in week 11, I'm going with big games from Ja'Marr Chase, Patrick Mahomes, and George Pickens. And here's the best part. Prize Picks is super simple. Just pick more or less on at least two player stats. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. And even better, how you play is completely up to you. If you want flexibility, choose Flex Play, where you can get paid even if one of your picks misses. And if you want the bigger payouts, go to the Power Play. No matter how you play, Prize Picks is a great way to put your takes to the test. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. I'm not sure about you guys, but it's a season for hosting a lot of holiday dinners, get-togethers, and big events, and all of that planning, cooking, and shopping can take a huge extra toll on my stress levels when there's already so much going on. That's why I leave the stress behind and rely on Omaha Steaks to help me prepare amazing meals for all of my family and friends this holiday season. And not to spoil some gifts for family members who may be listening, but I've definitely been picking up some Omaha Steaks as gifts, which makes holiday shopping super simple as well. The best part is that you can benefit with their Sizzle All The Way sale, which you can get 50% off. Yes, 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com. Plus, listeners get an extra $35 off with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. I'm actually hosting a birthday get-together this week, and the freezer is stocked with amazing steaks and burgers from Omaha, which is making things super simple to prepare and plan for. And if you haven't tried the food yet, it's beyond incredible. I can't recommend it enough. I especially want to shout out their grass-fed, grain-finished beef that has more marbling for exceptional flavor. Now, Omaha Steaks is a family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. So don't miss out on this deal and save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code PACKADAY at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com with code PACKADAY. That brings us to our Luigi's Pizza player to watch in this game. This is going to be a very unsexy pick, but I think it's a really important one for this game, and I'm going Elgton Jenkins. I think the offensive line play for Green Bay is, I've talked about it for weeks now, it is my biggest concern for this team, both now and in the long term, and I need to see this offensive line, especially in this game against Philly, figure out a way to get Josh Jacobs going and protect Jordan Love. And if they can't, I just don't think they can win this game. I don't think if the offensive line plays poor that they have, you know, an avenue for success. And here's the thing. We know that Aaron Banks has been a little bit beat up at left guard. He's going to start in this game by all accounts. Rashid Walker has not played his best football. Zach Tom is questionable in this game at right tackle. Even if he plays, he's probably nowhere near 100%. You're rotating right guards with Jordan Morgan and, you know, Sean Ryan, at least as of late. Maybe that changes this week, but those guys have been rotating. That hasn't exactly been your best spot. Elgton needs to be really good. He's been arguably below average and at times even bad. And you kind of need him to step up to be your ace on the offensive line right now with the, you know, with Zach Tom being beat up. So I need to see a better level of intensity and energy and focus and technique and all of it from Elgton Jenkins. And I get he's probably like you're in an ideal terms, your number two with Zach Tom playing as your ace. But imagine your ace is banged up in baseball and your number two guy, you're expecting him to be like a 2.5 or maybe like a 3.25 ERA guy, and he's pitching at a 7 ERA, right? Your team's not going to go far. Right now, it feels like Elgton Jenkins is supposed to be your number two, and he's pitching a 7 ERA. I'm making a 5 offensive lineman to 5 starting pitchers in baseball comparison if you're not following along at home here. But, you know, to me, like he needs to go from that to the ace of this offensive line. He needs to be the guy. And we've seen Elgton Jenkins play some phenomenal football in Green Bay. That's what we need to see again. And I don't know, maybe he's not 100% comfortable at center. I don't know, but I've seen him play left tackle, left guard, right guard, center in the past. And it's always been something that's been his biggest strength. You can put me anywhere and I'm going to be really good. And right now he's at center and he's not really good. And I need to see him be really good. And I know that partially, by the way, like he hasn't been as of late, what I would say like bad or horrible, but it's not up to the standard. He set a standard for himself, and it's just partially me saying I have high expectations for this player because I've seen him be really good, and I think he can still be really, really good. And I think he can be a really great center in this league, and clearly the Packers did as well. So in the late words of Kevin Green, it is time. I need Elgton Jenkins to step up and be the ace of that offensive line, and it needs to start today on Monday Night Football against two incredibly good, talented defensive tackles from the University of Georgia, in Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. That's a tough matchup. He's going to have to do his best work, and hopefully he can do it on Monday Night Football. All right, here's what I'm watching for today. Packers, Eagles, we've got our normal 12 things. We hinted at number one already, or just basically stated it very clearly. It's the Packers offensive line. This offensive line needs to be living up to expectations and playing up to the level that they are capable of playing at. This is a huge test. Now, Philly's defensive line has not been unbelievable like in years past, but Jalen Carter is still a beast to go against. You know, Jordan Davis still very, very tough to go against. And then they just added, you know, Phillips as well from Miami, and that's going to make this incredibly difficult as well. So when you're thinking about where this game starts, we always talk about, of course, that it starts in the trenches for both teams. But for Green Bay in this game, to me, it starts and ends with the defensive front for Philly and the offensive line for Green Bay. You can't allow the immediate pass. We saw two times this past week against Carolina where they just came right up the A gap and had immediate pressure on Jordan Love. That can't happen. So they have to be a lot more aware and a lot more stout up front to make sure that stuff's not happening. In addition, you've got to figure out a way to get Josh Jacobs some sort of crease. He is a player. We saw it even against Philly in the playoffs. He was the one player that's like, give me the ball and I will find a way to make things work. Like, he will put this offense on his back, but you've got to give him something. You've got to give him something to work with. So we talked about Elgton Jenkins, but it's not just Jenkins. It's Aaron Banks, Rashid Walker, Zach Tom, whoever is playing or rotating at right guard. We'll see, but they have to figure out something there. And to me, 1A on the list of things to watch. Watch it early. Take your eye off the ball. Watch the offensive line. Is Green Bay resetting the line of scrimmage? Are they just getting, you know, stonewalled? Or is Philly resetting the line of scrimmage? And if Philly's resetting the line of scrimmage, it's probably going to be a long, long day at the office for Jordan Love and company, and maybe more specifically, Josh Jacobs. Number two, how does Green Bay go about replacing Tucker Kraft? I thought Justice did a great job this week of kind of explaining, hey, Green Bay's really had no solutions towards too high safety defenses. And the one solution that they had, you know, go back to the Pittsburgh game. The Pittsburgh game, they played a ton of too high safety and Green Bay struggled with it, save for, hey, let's get the ball to Tucker Kraft. And we got the ball to Tucker Kraft and he did amazing things and just made everything work. He was the easy button. And now you don't have an easy button. So how do you go about replacing that? Especially when your other, you know, yards after catch guy, Jaden Reed, is still out in this one. And so that is a big noteworthy absence, both at wide receiver and now at tight end, and of course, Kraft out for the year. This is the first test that you have. It's going to be a big test for Luke Musgrave, what he can bring to the table. He's going to have to figure out a way to block just a little bit better, and he's going to have to, you know, I don't think he's a run after the catch guy. And I don't think they have a run after the catch guy at tight end. We'll see if Josh Wiley's involved in this game. You know, I'm sure John Fitzpatrick is going to have a similar role to what he's had already, but they're going to, like, as a group, they're going to have to try to figure out a way to replace Tucker Kraft, but you're probably going to maybe go some, you know, heavy offensive line. I would love to see some six offensive line usage. I think that would make a ton of sense for Green Bay. The crazy thing is we're seeing teams like the Rams have a ton of success with like three tight end looks. And I think that would have potentially really worked for Green Bay, but you need Tucker Kraft to make that work. And now they don't have Tucker Kraft. So it's just a really tough, you know, equation right now to figure out how do you get the best out of this team when it's already been struggling a little bit and now you don't have your biggest playmaker in Tucker Kraft. How they respond to that and how they go about replacing him and, you know, just kind of having a plan in place for getting their weapons the ball and some run after the catch opportunities without, again, having Tucker Kraft, it's going to be huge for Green Bay. Number three, what's your plan for Jalen Hurts? We've seen in the past, you know, going back to the Brazil game last year, that the idea for Jalen Hurts was, hey, we're just going to let him sit in the pocket and let us beat him with his arm because we don't think he can do that. We don't want him running all around. And that did not work at all. Jalen Hurts said, well, that's fine. I've got Devontae Smith and AJ Brown and Dallas Goedert, and I've got all these weapons. If I have time in the pocket, I'll pick you guys apart all day. In the playoffs, we saw that Green Bay struggled to get pressure, and there was that one touchdown throw, I think it was to Jahan Dotson, where he held onto the ball for what felt like, I don't know, a millennia in the pocket and eventually found, I think it was Dotson, in the back of the end zone. Let's just lay this out as simple as you can, right? Green Bay is going to be in a tough spot defensively, a very tough spot defensively. And this is what Philly does to you. Now, Philly has not been efficient on offense. Jalen Hurts has not been great. The receivers, you know, haven't lived up to expectations yet. Hopefully that stays the case in Monday Night Football, but here's why this is so hard. Green Bay just had a game where they really struggled to stop the run, and now you're facing Saquon Barkley. They're going to be very cognizant of making sure that they stop the run, but you can't be too cognizant of trying to stop the run because, you know, you want to be able to have guys over the top of Devontae Smith and AJ Brown because you're not going to feel confident with AJ Brown or Devontae Smith one-on-one with your corners. Those are bad matchups inherently, so we know Green Bay is going to probably play a ton of zone, but they want two safeties over the top. You're going to have to be very careful about that. And then if you have those two safeties up, then that potentially opens up some running lanes for Saquon Barkley. You also then don't just want to give Jalen Hurts time, but if you're only rushing four, gap integrity becomes a real big issue because you don't want to let, you know, say any of those defensive ends kind of circle inside and then Jalen Hurts can just take off and run. And then, you know, you add on top of that where, you know, if you are just letting him, you know, being focused, I should say, if you're being focused on him not running around and being active, now you're maybe not getting to the quarterback. And again, it's going to give those receivers more time down the field to get open. You have to pick your poison. How do you want to attack Jalen Hurts? It seemed like early in the year against Jaden Daniels and some more mobile quarterbacks as of late, they've wanted to attack more. They said, we're not just going to sit back and we're not just going to, mush rush or, try to keep Jalen Hurts in the pocket. We're going to come after him. All right, that's fine. But, if he escapes, you're in trouble. And if you bring extra guys, now again, you're looking at potentially one-on-ones on the outside. And if you're super focused on Jalen Hurts, that again could open up some stuff in the run game for Philly as well. So this is just a constant Rubik's Cube that Jeff Hafley is going to have to figure out of, sort of who's on first, what's on second, like what are you going to try to take away? Because the idea of taking away their receivers and, even Dallas Goedert included in that and Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts as the sort of mobile quarterback he can be, it's a lot to ask. So this is going to be a very tough test for Jeff Hafley. You're going to have a plan for Jalen Hurts. And we can just run right down the next two. Number four is, what is your plan for the corners one-on-one on the outside with Devontae Smith and AJ Brown? At some point in time, you're going to have to trust your corners. It just is as simple as that. If you ever want to blitz, if you ever want to commit extra players to the run in Saquon Barkley, you're going to have to trust your corners on the outside. And are Carrington Valentine and Keyshawn Nixon up to that? We're going to have to wait and see, but that's a huge matchup in this game. And then run defense against Saquon Barkley. Are you committing the extra player in the box? Can you stop him without that? Now, I do think Colby Wooden being back, him, I think, being absent was huge. Are they going four defensive tackles again? No LVN to kick inside in case of emergency. Wooden maybe being a little bit banged up. Wyatt just got back a couple weeks ago. I would like to see five defensive tackles in this game. My guess is we probably don't see it. But I would really like that just to have a little bit more depth there, a little bit more rotational ability. But that's going to be the other one and how you go about stopping Saquon Barkley. They're going to have to set the edges better. And then we get to our next one, number six. I think the linebackers have to play really, really well in this game. I thought Quay and Cooper were just a little bit below what we've kind of seen from them earlier in the season, this past week against Carolina, which was another one of the reasons that Carolina was successful running the football. Quay and Coop have their work cut out for them in this game. It just kind of, again, the overarching feel, any sort of play action, they need to make sure that they're getting good depth to cover that middle of the field a little bit better, not allowing some of that stuff deep over the middle. Dallas Goedert is going to be a problem, but also this Philly offensive line is really well coached and extremely good at getting to the second level. I thought last week, Quay and Cooper kind of got stuck on some offensive linemen. Now, neither of them are necessarily great getting off of blocks, but they're both fantastic at avoiding those blocks at the second level. And last week, it was a lot of Carolina offensive linemen getting attached to the linebackers and creating some of those creases for the Panthers running game. You can't do that against Saquon. If Saquon gets a little bit of that spacing, a little bit of that gap, it's going to be a big problem because those go from 5-yard gains to 70-yard gains with Saquon really, really quick. So I think the linebackers, Quay Walker, Edgerton Cooper, huge, huge in this game. Number seven, let's go to the offensive side. We kind of hinted at this and talked a little bit about this already, but how are you going to attack the too high safety look that has given you trouble so far this year? All right, so we're going to combine this with number eight, which is the run game and the horizontal passing game as well. Let's play this one out. Green Bay struggled to run the football inside, and now you've got Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis that you are going against that are, again, making this really, really tough on the inside. Zach Bond in there too, who's a very good linebacker. What if you can't run inside on Philly? And now they're, especially with them keeping their two safeties high. So two safeties high, you can't run inside. They're going to play a lot of soft zone coverages. I know you're going to be frustrated already with Matt LaFleur's play calling. What do you want to do? Because running to the outsides, some of those pitch and stretch plays have also not worked. Rashid Walker, Zach Tom. Now you've got Luke Musgrave blocking instead of Tucker Kraft. That's not going to be good. So running to the outsides may not be your best bet either. Okay, so we can't run inside and we struggle to run outside. All right, well, maybe we can hit some of those quick plays to the outside. They're playing soft zone coverage. Can we hit maybe some end arounds and reverses, or can we, throw some screens to the outside? But everyone hates those plays. And they haven't worked great, to be honest, right? We saw that last week against Philly, and teams are attacking those very aggressively. All right, so we don't want to call any end arounds or reverses, and we don't want to call any outside screen plays. All right, so do we want to take shots down the field? Well, no, because they're playing the too high safety looks, so you don't really want to do that either. All right. Well, do you have an intermediate short target, like a Tucker Kraft that you can get the ball to and he can make things happen and run after? No, he's out for the year. Okay. All right. What do you want to call? What do you want your game plan to be offensively? And this is why we go back to 1A. You better like hell be able to run the football. Because if you can't, that play sheet's going to look really ugly really fast. And Matt will have some stuff that is planned for him. No question about it. He always does. We talked, if you missed the show yesterday, looking at his game planning and play calling, there was some stuff he had there that was available. And Green Bay just didn't execute it, didn't hit it. They're going to need to hit it when it's there. And they're going to have to capitalize on opportunities. I'm not saying Philly's defense is infallible. They have not been that way at all. You can get to this Philly defense. But the bigger thing to me is like what Green Bay struggles with is exactly the way that Philly wants to play defense. Is that too high safety look? Like that's what Vic's going to do. Vic Fangio is going to do all game long. So Green Bay is going to have a plan. And if you cannot run the football and you don't want to run some of the horizontal stuff, good luck. It's going to be a potentially long day for you because there's not going to be much on that play sheet that looks super attractive. So just be aware that some of the stuff that he might be calling, some of the stuff that you don't like, it might be because there's not a lot of other options on the play sheet. And hopefully they can execute on some of that stuff because they're very much going to need to in this game. We'll be right back. Anybody else feeling the financial squeeze right now? Everything just feels a little bit tougher, and I, for one, don't have the time to constantly monitor my finances and see where every little dollar and cent is being allocated. Thankfully, Chime understands that every dollar counts. That's why when you set up direct deposit through Chime, you can get access to fee-free features like free overdraft coverage, getting paid up to 2 days early, and so much more. I highly encourage that you take the time to learn more over at chime.com/packaday. Not only do we use Chime as a family, but I know multiple friends who use Chime and swear by it as well. The early payments, the free overdraft coverage, and access to over 47,000 free ATMs have not only been beneficial, but have come in huge in some really difficult situations. I didn't even mention the ability to get daily balance updates and real-time transaction alerts, which have helped shape our spending habits. So work on your financial goals through Chime today. Open an account in 2 minutes at chime.com/packaday. That's chime.com/packaday. Chime feels like progress.
Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Timing depends on submission of payment file. Fees apply at out-of-network ATMs. Bank ranking and number of ATMs according to U.S. News and World Report 2023. Chime checking account required.
Number nine, I think Devontae Wyatt has to have a huge game. Again, Cam Jurgens is out there starting center. We've heard Micah Parsons talk a lot about how valuable Devontae Wyatt is. I think they're going to be very cognizant of Micah. We know that. And listen, Philly's got the best tackle combo in all of football in Lane Johnson and Jordan Mailata. I really, truly believe that. That's going to make things tough on Rashawn and Micah Parsons just in and of itself. And now you've got one of the best tackles in football going against Micah, and they're probably going to give him help as well. That's going to make things tough for Micah. That's going to make things, even Rashawn Gary one-on-one going against Jordan Mailata all day. That's a very tough assignment. Even if you're just getting one-on-ones all day, that's one of the best left tackles in all football. So where's your pressure going to come from? I think Steen and Toth are where your vulnerabilities are, and it's going to be paramount that Devontae Wyatt gets pressure right up the middle on Jalen Hurts, maybe forces him to get outside, and then that's where maybe Gary and Parsons can attack him a little bit more, maybe try to keep him in the pocket and maybe get some big losses on the day. But it's going to be really, really important that Devontae Wyatt have one of his better games of the season. Number 10, keep a real close eye on third down conversions. Philly has struggled with this at times and have had some real three and out problems. And Green Bay has really struggled to get teams to go three and out. So I think that on defense for Green Bay is going to be a real key to this one. And then, you know, Green Bay's offense can ill afford to go three and out and have those quick drives just stall, right? And put your defense right back on the field, especially with all the weapons that Philly has. So keep a real close eye on the third down conversions in this game. Number 11, special team / Brandon McManus. You know, Elliott, the kicker for Philly, is really good. Doesn't miss many. You cannot give away points in this game. Every single yard, every single point is going to matter to a very large extent. Even if you're missing an extra point, or if you miss a field goal that you've got the opportunity to make, it's going to feel so important in this game. So Brandon McManus and this Packers special teams have to play one of their better games to make this so that the offense and defense have a chance. Because if you're giving up a punt return or a kick return for a touchdown, or you have some stupid play or miss a kick here, like those things could easily haunt you and cost you in this game. Then last but not least, number 12, can you recapture that home field energy that you had week one against the Lions, week two against Washington? This last week against Carolina, it felt dead. The sideline felt dead. You gave nothing for the crowd to be excited about, at least early in the game. But late in the game, when you scored the touchdown, the crowd got behind you, but you didn't really give them anything until the fourth quarter to be excited about. I need to see that energy, intensity come out very early, and it needs to be led by the Packers. This is a big game, Monday Night Football, defending Super Bowl champions. They're coming into your house. This is exactly what you want. It's going to feel like November, December, Lambeau Field football. It's going to be cold out there. The elements are going to be in effect. Like, this is your house. I need to see you amped up. I need to see you energetic. I know you laid an egg against Carolina. Can you bounce back and win a big game against Philly? I have to see that energy from Green Bay. That's another one. I don't know if you're going to be able to see it if you're watching from home, but if you're in the stands, watch that sidelines. That sideline's not up for this game. Things are maybe worse than we thought, because it doesn't get much bigger than this, right? This is a playoff type feel. I need to see that sideline be energetic and excited the same way that they were in week one going against Detroit when they got that big win and looked like the far better team against the Lions in that game. Packers are 1.5-point favorites as of recording this still. We'll see if that line moves on game day, but as of right now, they are still favored in this game. As far as my prediction goes, as you may have been able to tell throughout our kind of keys to this game, everything X's and O's and in my mind tells me Philly in this one. But damn it, my gut tells me the Packers are going to find a way to win this game. And guess what? My gut's winning out. I'm going Packers 23-22. I think it's going to be a little bit of a grinder. I think it's a very tight game. I think there's some wonky things that happen. Green Bay's due for a couple balls to bounce their way. It wouldn't surprise me if Philly maybe outplayed Green Bay, but Green Bay found a way to steal this one. Again, 23-22. Packers win. That's what my gut says. My mind says something different, but what does my mind know? My gut knows more because it eats a lot of Luigi's pizzas. So that's where I'm going with this one. Packers 23, Eagles 22. I will be live for a lot today, actually. Mike Wall at noon Central Time. Mike Wall and I will be doing Pack-A-Day Live at noon today. 4:30 to 5:30 Central Time. I will be doing a live Q&A/pregame show. And then my hope is, so game starts about 7:15, gets done about 10:15. So after that, it'll probably take me till about 11:30, I would think, to get home. But I am hoping to come home, and even if it's just for 30 to 45 minutes, just do a live Q&A after the game. So if you're up late on Monday night or can't sleep, either because you're too depressed or hopefully far too excited to sleep, come join me for a live post-game show. I will go live as soon as I can get home following the game. Hope you guys enjoy this one. It is a really big game. Enjoy the journey. I know that these things are always difficult and we have high highs and low lows, but this is what we get excited for. We do all of our off-season talk and training camp and trades and free agency and the draft and preseason and family night so that we can enjoy the hell out of these games. There's not many left. It's freaking, I don't even know. Is it week 10, 11? I don't even know. It's crazy how quickly this NFL season goes. Every single year, it seems to go a little bit quicker. And this is one of the really fun ones on the schedule. And so enjoy the heck out of it. It's week 10. Week 11 is next week against the Giants. But either way, enjoy the hell out of the game. Hopefully Green Bay can come up with a big win. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle, Sinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Gonzusa, Alexander Newell, Dan Miller, Bill Reinhardt, Richard Morales, and Les Nino. I'll see you guys very, very soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.